Welcome to a special episode of the podcast. This episode, we are going to be having a conversation with Pastor Ben, the family pastor at Common Ground Church. And this is part one of two in what we are calling Rethink Parenting. So in this conversation, we are going to learn the biblical principles of wise decision making. And this is great for anyone, but how do we make good decisions as parents best for our kids? And that's today. That's in this quick episode. And then part two will be applying those principles in person in real life situations. So listen to this podcast, share it, and then be prepared to join us in person at Common Ground Church for part two. Again, where we will apply what we've learned, where you can bring your real life questions, your real life decisions that need to be made, and we will help make those together. So enjoy this conversation.
We are your church. We pray, revive this earth.
Build your kingdom here. Well, hello, everyone. This is Pastor Derek Carpenter at Common Ground Church, and I am here with Pastor Ben.
Yes, sir.
And he is our family pastor. And we are doing something we did last year, but a little bit different. We are talking about parenting, and we're calling this Rethink Parenting. And if you're listening to this, it's probably because you're a parent or a grandparent, and you have some questions. And so that's our goal, is really to help you make wise decisions, because if you are a parent, you have some decisions to make. Ben, what are some of those decisions that we're going to help them make wisely?
Yeah, we live in a strange time where there's so many different things bombarding us for attention, for the attention of our time, especially our children. Anything from what to watch, social media, what school our children should be in, all the different influences that parents need to sift through and wade through. That can be tough. And so the goal for this is to lay a foundation that we can build upon without necessarily going into the minutia of each decision, but equipping parents to be confident in making good, godly decisions.
Yeah, that's great. Well, and it's the principles are the same whether your kids are little or older. You know, parents of younger kids, I'm hearing this, should our kid have a smartphone? Mm-hmm. You know, they're 9 years old, should we let them have a smartphone? Well, there's ways to make wise decisions around that.
Yep.
I have a 15-year-old. Should I let them date? Well, that's a different kind of decision, but they're real decisions. And as you mentioned, where should they go to school?
Yeah.
There's public school. There's good and bad reasons to do that. There's private school. There's good and bad reasons to do that. There's homeschool. Good and bad. There's not a right answer for every person.
Because that's not a cookie cutter situation. Each family has to evaluate their own dynamics, their own child, and you know, how do you do that?
Right. And I hope if you're listening, our goal isn't to tell you to make the decisions exactly like we would want you to. The goal is for you to make wise decisions in your context for each kid, which might be different for each kid.
Mm-hmm. Even kids within the same family.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Oh, we have four kids and they're all different.
Yep.
Right? We were talking the other day, me and my wife, that one, we wish we had a manual when they were born. Mm-hmm. But with our kids, we would have needed a different manual for each kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to give you a manual for parenting.
Yep.
And it's a guarantee that everything's going to be perfect if you follow this manual.
100% of the time. Money back guaranteed.
All right. With that in mind, today in this short podcast, we want to help give you the principles of wise decision making, and we are going to get together in person on June 25th at 6 p.m. to apply some of those.
Yep.
So you say not the minutia, but on June 25th, can we get into minutia?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
And towards the end here, we'll give you a email address that you can send your questions and specific topics to that we can discuss that night.
Awesome. Great. So how are we going to begin this, Ben?
What an excellent question, Derek. You know, foundational to this idea of godly decision-making, it needs to start with the question about what is God's will? And that can be a tricky one for people to digest, to kind of sift through our own experiences and what we've been taught. But the foundational start for this needs to start with God's sovereign will. What isn't knowable because it's reserved for God alone, because of his character, because of who he is. And a great starting point for that is Deuteronomy 29:29 that says, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law." So there are things in this life that we're just not going to know because they're reserved for God. And that can really stress some people out sometimes because they want that guarantee. They want that 100%, hey, if I do X, Y, and Z, I'll have the result I want. Well, I think we can all share an example of where we did things the right way, we did things the godly way, and it still blew up in our face.
Right.
Were we outside of God's will? I mean, you have examples of that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Where you follow the wisdom pattern that we are going to lay out in a minute, and it didn't go the way we hoped. Mm-hmm. But God is still in control. And I think that's the point, right, of the sovereign will. Mm-hmm. Even though you don't understand it, you can trust he's in control.
And that boils down to, what do we actually believe about this God? What do we believe about his character? What do we believe about his might? What do we believe about his plan for us, his goodness, his desire for us to be conformed into the image of Christ? But it also is a reminder to pause and think for a moment about just how big and great and mighty this God actually is.
Yep.
Isaiah 45 talks about this, about just our God forms light and darkness. Our God creates well-being and calamity. He's in control of everything. It says, "I am the Lord, the who does all these things. He brings rain from heaven, and it waters the fields of the righteous and the wicked." You know, later on, he talks about, you know, the pot doesn't ask the potter, "Hey, where's my handles? Hey, you designed me wrong." Well, no, we are clay in the hands of our sovereign God, and so it's a wrestling match between comfort and also kind of awe and maybe a little bit of terror that we aren't actually in control. And that can rub us the wrong way, but it's also the security blanket that we need to cling to because the results are in God's hands. And if we believe that this God is a good God, that he's a wise God, then the outcome eventually is going to be for our good as well.
So the big part about that is then now we're going to move on to what he has revealed, mm-hmm. right? We can't understand what he hasn't revealed, but we can trust him with that. Mm-hmm. But then if we do things the way he has revealed, we can have confidence in the decisions we make and security, even if they don't work out, mm-hmm. right? What was the word you used before when we were talking about that? That as long as we make decisions his way.
Yeah, so this really boils down to shepherding our conscience. If we can make decisions God's way, God's outlined way of wisdom, we're not responsible for the outcome because that's part of God's sovereignty. But we can confidently make decisions and have a clean conscience because we've made that decision the right way, and we've also made the decision with faith in the sovereignty and the goodness of this God.
Yeah, I had a talk with a parent somewhat recently, and they were very anxious and worried about their 18-year-old who's about to leave and go off to college. Are they going to make the right decisions? Are they going to continue to follow God? Are they going to be okay? And of course, the question to this parent was, well, have you done as much as you could God's way, making the wise decisions? Well yes. Mm-hmm. Well, then you can trust God to take care of your child. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we want to hope to give you in this study, is that you can make wise decisions and that hopefully things will go the best way. But also, as you said, Ben, your conscience can be clear. You did the best, and then you can trust God with your child.
Yeah. Proverbs 16:33 says, "The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord," which means there is no guarantees in terms of things going the way I want, the way I've designed, in my favor. That should be something that we can then release to God if you have the right belief in this God.
Yep.
And it also means that what God has decided can't be thwarted. We can make plans, but what happens is decided by the Lord because we're not in control.
Totally. Well, and if we're honest, there's also an aspect of human free will in this. Mm-hmm. Our children, although as much as we would like to take away their free will, we can't. And mm-hmm. God has given us that free will so mm-hmm. that we will freely choose to know and love him. And he has given our children that free will as well. So we might do it perfectly. Mm-hmm. That will not dictate what will happen in their life later.
Yep.
But yet scripture is clear. The principle is if you raise up your kids in the way that they should go, when they're old, they won't depart from it. Mm-hmm. There's a principle that in general, if we make decisions God's way, it will go better for our children.
Totally. Yeah, that foundation is super key. And we all know parents, good parents who have terrible children, and we all know terrible parents that somehow have great kids.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
Influence is important, but it doesn't determine.
No. But it gives a better chance
totally.
That things will go well. Mm-hmm. So to transition, Proverbs 16:9 says, "The heart of a man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps," meaning we should plan. Mm-hmm. We should do the best we can and then leave it in God's hands. So how can we do the best we can?
You know, we all want the guaranteed manual. We all want the how to do X, Y, and Z and have the right results. Well, I guess the question becomes, when was the last time you looked in the manual?
Yeah.
Because we do actually have one, and it's something that it's not mysterious. God's sovereign will, the one that we don't know about, that's mysterious because we don't know the outcome. But God has revealed an awful lot to us, that which we can know, for how to please God, how to make godly decisions. And it's his word. It's the Bible. Okay. It's scripture. It's God's manual for how to make good decisions. So we have tons of scripture for this. And if you actually come the night of, we'll have these scripture outlines available to you. But right off the bat, I think of Psalm 119, where the psalmist is worshiping God's law, his word, his statutes, because those commandments guide his path. In verse 105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a mm-hmm. light for my path." God's word is a guide. We don't have to stumble around in the dark saying, you know, oh, I didn't see that one coming, when it comes Absolutely. To the things that God has revealed. So what are we doing to actually be diligent in understanding and reading the manual?
Well, for me, 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17 is huge. It says scripture, all scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable. And that's the word, it profitable, meaning useful for mm-hmm. teaching, meaning telling us how to live right, for reproof, showing us when we're off. That's mm-hmm. when we don't like. Yep. But when we're off, scripture is diligent to show us that we're off. Mm-hmm. And in humility, then we go back to God's word for correction, shows us how to get right, and then training in righteousness, how to stay right. And that verse ends with that a man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Mm-hmm. So that right there, it's the manual.
It is.
It shows us how to live when we're off, how to get right. And also we can, for our kids as well, I mean, mm-hmm. how to be parents.
We can actually make good decisions that are also moral decisions, good moral decisions that please God because of what God has revealed in his word. And our responsibility for that is to spend more time in the word.
Yep.
To understand what it actually says about certain topics. Obviously, the Bible doesn't address every single topic. You're not going to find a verse about cell phones. But it will...
Wait, really?
I think that's... I almost went there.
That book's coming out later.
Yeah, it is. It's in the revised edition. But it does talk a lot about how you steward your time.
Yes.
It does talk a lot about how you know, what kind of influences you're going to allow into your life. Those are all aspects of these greater decisions that we think, that we get stuck into thinking, this is only applicable to my generation. Nobody else had to go through this. Nobody else had to think about screen times prior to, you know, 20 years ago, because it just wasn't a thing. And so the Bible can't help me because it's not in there.
Right.
Well, no, you need to do your due diligence because there's nothing new under the sun.
Right.
There's always been something vying for your children's attention. There's always been something vying for influence in their lives.
Absolutely.
And the principles haven't changed.
Right. And some things, honestly, so in our principles of making wise decisions, the first one, God's word, mm-hmm. go to God's word. And often we'll find that we can stop there. Mm-hmm. I mean, questions I've had from people, oh, should I do this or that? We go to God's word. God's word's clear on some of those.
Totally.
If your kids are questioning sexuality and all that, the answer first is fairly simple. Mm-hmm. God's word is very clear. God made man and woman. So gender, there's only two. Mm-hmm. and his plan for sex is within marriage. Mm-hmm. That's it. Now, how you carry out leading your children, that takes wisdom. But that principle is clear in Scripture. We don't even have to talk. We don't have to pray about that. Mm-hmm. It's clear.
Yeah. So the goal of this is, you know, how do we grow in our spiritual discernment? How do we grow in our, you know, there's two sides to that equation. It's faith in God's will, both, you know, the things that we don't know about, but also faith in his word.
Absolutely.
And then the other side of that is the wisdom, our responsibility. What are we responsible for when it comes to godly decision? We don't want to swing on the pendulum of, you know, it's fatalistic, God's in control of everything, so I have no responsibility. Well, no, that's wrong. We also don't want to be hamstrung by the thought that, oh, if I make the wrong decision, I'm going to be outside of God's will.
Right.
Well, is that decision knowable or is that reserved for God?
Yeah.
So that's where the wisdom and our responsibility comes into play. So,
well, and so when Scripture is clear, mm-hmm. that's fairly simple. But as we've talked about, Scripture doesn't tell us public school, mm-hmm. homeschool,
totally.
Or private school. Scripture doesn't tell us what should the limits be on screen time for my kids? Mm-hmm. What age should my kid be when they get a smartphone? The Bible doesn't tell us. Mm-hmm. So what we really want is discernment. Mm-hmm. And so what would you say discernment is?
Discernment is, again, it's that faith that God has things in control. And what we believe about this God is super, super critical. If we think that this God is fickle, then that's not going to bring us any comfort. But if we believe that God says that he is who he says he is, which is he is good, he is faithful, he is just, he is loving and patient, then yeah, we can take great comfort in the fact that he's in control. So that is an aspect of faith that we need to exert when we make a decision and don't know what the outcome is going to be, but we've made it in faith.
Sure.
Then our conscience is going to be clean.
Yep.
But then it also includes the idea of what steps can I take to create the best possible outcome?
You're talking wisdom there.
Talking about wisdom and the source of wisdom. Where do we find wisdom? Where does Scripture talk about wisdom? And how do I then apply that to my life? Because wisdom is a huge part of Scripture. We have books of the Bible dedicated to just wisdom.
Absolutely.
And the Old Testament teaches that wisdom has the advantage of giving success, not necessarily success in the terms of my outcome, my desired outcome, but success in I'm going to make a decision and my conscience is going to be clean.
Yep.
Because I did it the right way. And we see this theme throughout Scripture, even Jesus telling his disciples, you know, be shrewd as serpents, be wise, make good decisions, be observant, do your research. And we'll get to those steps here in a minute. But the call to wisdom is a call for us to take responsibility. Mm. If you're a parent, you don't get to opt out.
Absolutely.
It's your responsibility. You have been given by God this job, this child to mold and shape. And as parents, as a unit, you need to be on board with what God has planned and God's way of doing things in order to create that fertile soil where the Spirit can then take over and your child can.
You know, that's a good point. What comes to mind actually is I've met Christian parents who have plenty of faith, but so much faith that they don't parent. Mm-hmm. And so their response was, well, I'll trust God with it. And I let the kid learn from their experiences.
Yes.
I watched a girl on a soccer field and her dad was the coach and she was throwing a fit and yelling at other kids and he should have yanked her out. He should have disciplined his daughter, mm-hmm. but he didn't. Oh, I'm going to leave it to the consequences. The other kids aren't going to like her, whatever. Mm. Like, no. There's actually some ways you can make, there's wisdom. You have faith, but you don't have any wisdom mm-hmm. in how to parent. Mm-hmm. And so discernment is the faith, mm-hmm. but also the wisdom. And so as we conclude, we're not concluding yet, but we want to be very specific mm-hmm. how to make wise decisions. So what do we got? 4 points?
Okay. 4.3.
All right. Point one, how do I make a wise decision?
Well, you have to go to the source of wisdom. Jeremiah 17:9 says that our hearts are sick and desperately wicked, which means we can't necessarily trust our hearts. We need to go to the source of wisdom, and wisdom comes from God. It is a gift from God. And James 1 tells us, you know, If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach. We need to acknowledge that God is the source of wisdom, that he, through the Holy Spirit, reveals the truths of Scripture to us. I've known people who know the Bible infinitely better than I do, who weren't believers.
Yeah.
And they could debate Scripture and theology with you all day long, but they didn't have the Holy Spirit. So they had the knowledge, but they didn't have the wisdom, because the wisdom comes from God. The wisdom comes from the Holy Spirit, who works through his word.
Absolutely.
Not around his word.
Yep. Yep.
And that's the second point, is we need to read Scripture. We need to be using the manual.
Yep.
And trusting the Holy Spirit to reveal that truth to us, to reveal areas in our own lives where we're not, you know, stewarding the resources that we have the way that God has outlined in order for us to make those kinds of godly decisions. You know, Psalm 19:7 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is true, making wise the simple."
Yeah.
I mean, it's, I don't know how more clear you got to be.
Well, and I guess I would sum that up with, the source of wisdom is God, right? Mm-hmm. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord.
Totally.
And so it's not God plus the popular thinking of the day, mm-hmm. or plus our favorite talk show host. It's God alone.
It's not Dr. Phil?
It's not Dr. Phil. It's not Pastor Ben.
It's definitely not Pastor Ben.
It's not, right? It's God alone. Mm-hmm. And he begins through his word. Mm-hmm. So I like how you said, though, there's a faith in his word and the Holy Spirit involved, not the word alone, but the Holy Spirit. But it begins with this word.
Totally.
What would be our next one? Number 2.5.
2.5. And, you know, this is one that a lot of people skip. And I don't know, maybe it's laziness. But Scripture actually tells us to do our own research. Mm-hmm. If we are faced with a decision that is not clearly immoral, like we can't go to the Bible and say, well, that's a no-brainer. Don't do this.
Yep.
If it's not that, then we have a responsibility to do our own research. And Scripture has some examples of that, like Nehemiah after the exile. He toured the city to see what was needed to rebuild the wall, what resources they had. He did his own research. Joshua did the same thing in chapter 2 with sending spies into Canaan.
Yep, absolutely.
They didn't know what the lay of the land was like. They didn't know what the people were like. So they did their own research. And
yeah.
And this, that outside research can become kind of like a pros and cons list, which is what we'll do the night of a little bit with our sit down tables. But actually looking at the options before you to be informed.
That's really good. Well, you know, one of the decisions a lot of parents try and wrestle with is, again, screen time, mm-hmm. smartphones, things. There's a lot of research that's newer now.
There's a lot.
But we didn't have that research mm-hmm. when our oldest son was first, these things first came out. We didn't have that research.
Yeah.
And a lot of parents now realize they made some poor decisions. Mm. But that research wasn't even available. There might've been wisdom we could have applied.
Sure.
But there's a lot of research now around those things. Mm-hmm. For me, you know, as we talked about this before, what boils this down to me, which you already said, is don't be lazy.
Mm-hmm.
Parenting is hard work.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want to be lazy. Oh, I just don't want to put the work in. I'm going to give the kid this or ignore that. Let's do the work.
Yeah. Yeah. And that leads us to the next one, which is godly and spiritually mature counselors, influences in our lives, people that we can go to who are saturated in the word and whose lives can have borne fruit of that walk, of that wisdom. And they can speak to, you know, your situation, your dynamics, and your kid. Because, you know, we need godly quote unquote grandparents in the church who know our kids and are around our kids and can speak wisdom to our struggles and our scenarios, because A, they love God, and 2, they've lived it.
Absolutely.
And those are resources that I think are sorely neglected at times, where we relegate the old people to, you know, just, you know, in the quiet section of the church.
Sure.
Versus, hey, you've lived. Tell me,
yep.
Tell me about this.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, we said at the first, though, one of our first steps is Scripture. Does Scripture have anything to say about this?
Absolutely. Proverbs says a lot about this.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, Proverbs 11:14, where there is no guidance, mm-hmm. a people falls, but in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. I think of David having like an entire host of counselors.
Yep.
when he was king, because, you know, we're always blind to what we're blind to.
That's deep.
Right? I don't know what I'm blind to until somebody points it out to me.
Yep.
And then I can actually do something about it. And sometimes it's kind of like this delicate balance between asking people for help and then offering help without them asking.
Sure.
You know, but sometimes that includes, hey, I see the destructive end that's going to occur because of your choices right now.
Yeah.
And out of love, I'm going to speak the truth in love to you of, hey, caution, caution.
Yep.
Maybe reevaluate your stance on X, Y, or Z.
You know, it was a few years ago, I sought out a counselor, a godly man who could give input. And he didn't live around here, so we started meeting on Zoom. And the first time we met, he's like, all right, what do we need to talk about? I said, I don't know. Mm. I said, the reason I connected with you is I have blind spots that I don't know I have. And I trust you as a godly person. Hopefully you can see some things in my life and ministry I don't see. And he's like, that's weird. All right, how are we going to spend our, all right. And it ended up being great. He's like, all right, check these things out and wrestle through. But that's most of the time we go to counselors when we know something's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Wisdom, I think, would be we go
before
mm-hmm. and avoid the problem mm-hmm. ahead of time.
And looking to those experienced sources as teachers, as mentors, you know?
Yep.
I think that's part of the whole laziness too is, oh, I've got this.
Yes.
Or I don't have time.
Yes.
Oh, let that never be the excuse. I don't have time to parent well, to ask what my blind spots are from somebody who knows me and can speak truth for my benefit.
Yep. Yeah. Well, and Proverbs also says, without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. The theme in there is many, right? Not just one. Mm-hmm. If you have that one person you go to that always agrees with you.
Oh, that's dangerous.
Oh, I heard at our kids' high school graduation, one of the valedictorians made this reference. I never heard it. If you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room.
Mm.
I thought that was really wise of this young man to say, if you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room. If everybody agrees with you, you need to find a different group. Because with many counselors, not just a couple. I think a big point with this too, though, is that they're godly counselors.
Definitely.
Here's a mistake I've seen throughout my entire life and been tempted to myself. With a decision or something happened in life, I go to those people I know are going to tell me what I want to hear. That's not wisdom. Can we say that's foolishness?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And you know, we'll get into the trap of thinking, oh, well, I'm going to this person from my church that I have a relationship with, and that's all I need. Well, like you already pointed out, the idea of many, multiple counselors, meaning, you know, you need a plethora of voices that maybe you're not going to hear the bad advice when you're only going to one.
Yeah.
But if you're going to five or six people, one of them might stand out.
Right.
And then you're going to have to do your due diligence and say, is that person actually speaking from their wisdom or are they just commiserating with me?
Yes.
And that's not what you want.
And I've seen this happen repeatedly within the church of people who want to go a certain way. Mm-hmm. They seek counsel and they say, no, scripture says this way. They go to somebody else. No, scripture says this. They go, finally, they find someone to agree. Yep. Oh, we agree. And then they find another one. And pretty soon they create their own group and they separate themselves.
Yep.
We all agree, but we're rejecting all these others that have led us God's way. And the end is destruction for those families. I've watched it.
Time and time again.
Yep.
Yep. And then, the last one, wrapping this up, is the idea of your own personal experiences. I think this is where my dad loves to say this saying, or he used to, there's no education in the second kick of a mule.
Yep.
You know, if you have done something the same way over and over and over again, and it has blown up in your face over and over and over again, maybe it's time for you to trust that the way you're doing things, your experiences, you're doing things wrong.
Sure.
Maybe it's time to reevaluate. And then the flip side is, hey, this was how I made this decision last time, and it went well, and my conscience was clean.
Yes.
And we were unified. I'm going to trust that process. Usually it's the, let's be honest, usually it's the negative, right? Because we humans, we're dumb. We're stubborn.
Yeah.
We're stubborn and we're prideful. And we think, oh, this time it'll work.
Yeah.
This time the way I'm doing things will be successful.
Yeah.
Even though the last 8 times I've done it, it's blown up in my face.
Absolutely.
You know, that's some self-reflection that comes with some maturity. And I think if you're doing the rest of these steps, that maturity will come.
Absolutely. And that's a point that sticks out to me as you're sharing this. As we learn to make these decisions, and we do, it's just like faith. Faith mm-hmm. is a muscle, and it only grows by working it out. Mm-hmm. Decision-making, it's a muscle that you practice and you do. And after you go through this process, some decisions will be a lot quicker and easier.
Totally, yeah. And it won't be a, let's sit down and do a T-chart and do all the pros and cons.
Right.
Some of them will be just like, I'm going to see the pitfalls right away and be like, nope, I'm not going to go that
right.
way. And it does become easier.
And so for parents, here's some grace. If you have been making poor decisions or you haven't ever heard this, God is sovereign and gracious. Mm-hmm. You can start now making wise decisions, and God will use that in your kids' lives.
And he'll also give you that peace when you're making your decisions based on faith and through your own due diligence of doing them wisely.
Absolutely.
You want to experience peace in your home. You want to experience a level of calm that maybe you haven't experienced before. Well, maybe it's time to reevaluate how you're doing things.
Absolutely.
Your process for making decisions and whether or not they're ultimately going to give God glory or gosh, let's not be lazy.
Absolutely. Let's do the hard work. Mm. I'm blessed. Our kids are older, right? We have one 24 and then 18, 16, and 14.
You're so old.
I know. But I would say we have not made every decision perfectly. Mm-hmm. But I believe we've attempted to. And the blessing we see now is our kids like to be with us.
Mm.
Our kids want to serve in the church. Again, they're not perfect by any means. And it's no guarantee for their future, but they talk to us.
Right.
And that's a huge one. They come home after school and they share the tough things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think godly wisdom and counselors we've had and examples in our lives have helped us. Again, not perfect, but God is gracious through our imperfections, and we get to enjoy our kids when they're older.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And so as we already mentioned, we'll be doing a kind of like a workshop the evening of June 25th here at the church, Common Ground Church. And it starts at 6 o'clock, and we'll have your concerns, your topics that you can email to me, ben@commongroundnevada.com. But we'll also have some available the night of, and it's going to be like a workshop. We'll have roundtable discussions. We'll go through a couple of case studies, and we'll take these principles with scripture and go through each of these questions, each of these scenarios in a way that hopefully is going to be new and refreshing for you, but also gives you some of that confidence to know, hey, I can actually have faith in God's will, but I can also shepherd a clean conscience because I'm doing things wisely.
Absolutely. Well, and I was part of this last year. And even if you don't feel like you have big decisions coming up, this is still a great thing. As I heard other parents raise their questions, I went, oh, I didn't think about that. Mm-hmm. That's a really good question.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it's something you've already gone through and another parent asks it, you may have good answers.
Absolutely.
You can be maybe the godly counsel mm-hmm. going to scripture as we discuss real things. So with that though, encouragement, if you do have specific questions, again, email them ahead of time so we can be sure they are part of the discussion what's the email address?
Ben@commongroundnevada.com. And if you're a grandparent and you want to come and share some of that wisdom with us.
Absolutely.
Man, that's what we're talking about. Come
Absolutely.
And be a part of this to, you know, at those tables, share your experiences, what worked, what didn't work, and be a part of that process.
Ben, do I have to be a Jesus follower to come to this?
No. Hopefully you'll become a Jesus follower.
Well, yeah, we'll show our hand, let's be honest.
But no, I would, and this isn't reserved for just people who come to Common Ground. This, you know, invite your friends, invite your neighbors. If you are involved in the community and your kids are playing sports with other kids and you're talking to a mom on the field, you know, and they're lamenting about X, Y, or Z of, you know, what do we do about this? What do we do about that? Invite them.
Yes.
Invite them because there is actually hope and peace to be found in doing things God's way, and they'll be exposed to this process, which includes that faith in God. So
absolutely,
please invite people.
Well, and I want to reemphasize what you just said. This isn't just for common ground. Mm-hmm. We are blessed to have Ben who can lay out some of this wisdom. This is for anybody and everybody. I hope the church fills up. It is not a roundabout way for we to sneakily get people to change churches or anything like that. We don't care about that. Mm-hmm. We want parents to make wise decisions. So invite anyone and everyone, and begin by sharing this podcast. Share this podcast with other parents you know have decisions to make, and invite them on June
25th.
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock here at Common Ground. We'll have coffee and cookies.
Oh.
If anything, just come for the cookies, because they'll be the Costco ones that are like super good. Yeah.
Excellent. Anything else as we wrap up, Ben?
I'm excited, and I hope you all can make it. And if not, feel free to email the questions anyway and get plugged in somewhere.
Absolutely.
This isn't the information that's reserved for us. A lot of godly people have this information, so get plugged in.
I appreciate that. And I guess I'll finish with that same. A lot of what we've seen in here of making wise decisions mean you need to be in a community.
Absolutely.
And we live in, you know, Carson City, Carson Valley area. There are a handful of really good churches. Mm-hmm. If you're listening to this and you're not part of one of them, you need to become part of one of them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Excellent.
Cool.
All right. We will see you on June 25th. See you there. All right.
Church, we pray, revive this earth.